Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, Savior, Redeemer. Could we sing another song? Could we all rise maybe? And I think most of us know the words to there is beyond the azure blue, our God is alive. Could we sing that this morning? The first verse is, there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tints the skies with heavenly hues and frames the world with his great might. I think it'll come to us as we sing. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. Father, we do bow here in your presence this morning, Lord, at this noon hour. You have spoken to us this morning, and we're very thankful, Lord, that you have honored your promise, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be there. And we just thank you for that this morning, that we can rest in your promise, that you are not far from every one of us. And that if we will draw nigh to you, that you will draw nigh to us. And we bow here in your presence in that way this morning, seeking to draw nigh to you, seeking to hear from you, seeking, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and change us. I pray that you would just attend and do the service, Lord. Strengthen my trembling knees, Lord, this morning, and give me clarity of mind, I pray. I could be a vessel for your use today, unworthy, but cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And so I pray that we would have ears to hear what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to thank everyone this morning for everyone that participated in the service. I was very blessed to be here. I was thinking this morning of what a privilege we have to bring our children to a place where they can hear teachings like that. I was very blessed with the children's lesson. What Ray was talking about is that ultimately we'll be known not only by the things that we said, but who we really are. We'll be known for who we really were, and the true nature of our character. And it is only by the grace of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit, that any of us would have good character. And goes along with along the lines of what I was meant to share here today. For an opening scripture, I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That is not necessarily the subject for this morning, but as we go through the message, I'd like for us to remember these verses and the reality that God will bring every work into judgment. And if we are wise, we will bring our lives into judgment today. Today, by the grace of God, the throne of God, we have access to the throne of God to bring our works into judgment today. And we have the glorious opportunity to repent. We have the opportunity to be cleansed from sin and to walk in the Spirit of God and bring forth works that are good. And so as we go through the message today, I'd like for us to just bear this in mind, that the mercies of God are new again today. And if God touches your life, it doesn't need to be unto condemnation, but it can be unto repentance and renewal of life. And so I may not say that throughout the message, but that's the heart of what I'd like to share, is that we would bring our works into judgment today and allow God to speak to us. Okay, I'd like to turn to Titus chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 8, we have these words. I'm actually going to back up to verse 6 in Titus chapter 2. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I'd like to give this as an exhortation this morning, and the title I'd like to title this "Sound Speech." This may be this may I'd like to say that I'm speaking just to things that God's been showing in my own life, in our own home. And this is not directed at anyone else more than myself, but I believe for all of us. But the question is this: does God rule your tongue? And in our homes, I just thought that the construction or the destruction of our homes have much to do with how we use our tongues. We're going to turn to a couple of scriptures. In Matthew chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 12, starting on verse 33, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit." That's what Ray was talking about. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle man that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We're going to look at a little later here. James says almost the same thing. But here's an instruction. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're accusing him. They're accusing him of casting out devils by the prince of devils. And Jesus, he says he knew their thoughts, and then he went into this discourse that he's doing it by the Spirit of God. But then in these verses that I just read, he's saying, how would you know anyway? How would you be able to speak the truth because you're evil? And he's saying, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And he says this: either make the tree good and good things will come forth, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruits. And I think it's important that that we just let the Lord say what he said, because there's a lot of excuses made in our day as to why the things that come forth out of me, I didn't really mean them. That's not really me. I didn't really mean it. That's not really who I am. But he says here that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The question, I guess I'll clarify this maybe a little later, but the question is, are we walking in the flesh or in the spirit? Because evil things do not come from the Spirit of God. Evil things come from the flesh, and the potential for that is always there. I believe the potential will always be, there will always be a potential to walk in the flesh. But the question, I guess today, is, are we walking in the Spirit? If we could turn to James chapter 3. in James chapter 3, and I know you're very familiar with the scripture. I'm just going to turn in and break in here on verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame, for it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And in a sense, I know that those can be kind of strong words because when we look at our lives, we see sometimes we can see failings, but again, that's God's standard. That's what God has said. And it's good for us to just humble ourselves and to receive that as a truth. And this phrase in here, the tongue can no man tame, I believe that to be true. I believe that the tongue can no man tame, but God can tame the tongue. And I think that, I believe maybe it was John D. Martin who I heard say that, that our words are a window into who we really are. And so the question this morning is, are we willing to look in honestly? Are we willing to look in that window honestly and judge ourselves? There's a scripture in Corinthians that says, let us judge ourselves that we not be judged. We can bring our lives into judgment before God and let God speak to us and bring change and bring forth true fruit. And also this morning, I'd like to talk more about patterns. What are the patterns of speech? I'm not so much talking about, I know that we fail and I don't make excuse for that, but I'd like to talk more about the patterns. Do we see patterns of in our speech? If we turn back one page to James 1, verse 26. James says that if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's a very, I was thinking this morning that that's a very strong phrase. That's a very strong word from the Lord that we should find ourselves one day realizing that our religion was vain. It never got deep enough to affect my tongue. True conversion should result in a tongue that glorifies God. A true conversion will result in a tongue that glorifies God. true conversion, if there's a reality of the Spirit of God working in us, it will affect our tongues. I know that there's many in here who can testify to that. And so, I have some questions for us this morning. This will be kind of a short message, probably. But I have some questions for us this morning. Just a little examination of our speech. Is our speech sound? Is God being glorified? And also, as we do that, I would like for us to consider that if there's patterns in our lives, that we ought to look deeper and to look at what is really going on and where is it coming from. So I've got a list here, a list of things that I have at times seen in my own life, things that I've repented of, things that And I'd just like to, if we could, and I'm going to start with the negative ones first, and so bear with me. Are my words angry? Is there a pattern of angry words? Anger often comes from selfishness, not wanting to be bothered. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger comes from walking in the flesh. And I wrote down here that anger in the heart will surely show up at home. Anger in the heart will come out at home. We can hide it many times from our brethren, whom we only see once a week, but anger will come out in the home, and anger will destroy. And I think maybe Brother Bob had talked about that a few weeks ago. Secondly, are our words critical? James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, then art thou not a doer, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? A pattern of criticism shows a heart that is full of self and pride, and it's the opposite of esteeming and honoring one another. Do I enjoy putting others down and exalting myself? Sometimes I might say this, even maybe in a lighthearted way, just putting others down, maybe in a somewhat joking way, but not really joking. Are my words negative? A pattern of negativity shows a heart of unbelief. Is there a pattern of murmuring and complaining? Murmuring and complaining shows a heart of unthankfulness. And we might remember the children of Israel. Unthankfulness is pride. It's an attitude that I deserve better than this. Is my speech irreverent? I think that if there's... There's an area where there should be a distinct difference between the children of God and the people of this world. I believe there should be a reverence in speech. There's a lack of reverence for things that are holy and things of God. And I would just like for us to consider that of being caught up in the casual age of cool speech and, you know, the texting language that people are using, it comes out also in their speech. And I think it's a disgrace for a child of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, maybe we could turn to this. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30 in chapter 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here in the midst of these two verses talking about our speech, we have the phrase, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I think it gets very practical. How often in our home do we grieve the Holy Spirit with an angry word or with a harsh word? and the Spirit of God is grieved, and it brings the results are not good. And I just took note that in the context here of grieving not the Holy Spirit, that is talking about our speech. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Reading on down there in chapter 5, we have these words, verse 3, chapter 5 of Ephesians. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, and let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And the word convenient there is not proper or fitting. And so I'd like to ask, is there a pattern of foolish talking and jesting? Foolishness, and I know this from my own life, that foolishness is often a cover-up for a heart that is insecure and seeking to impress others. Okay, I have one. Another one here is my conversation only earthly? Work, pleasure, fun, possessions can be an indication of a heart that is worldly and set on the things of this world. And the verses in Proverbs that talk about our speech are too many. There's very many. It talks about gossip, slander, evil speaking, evidences of hatred, talebearing, and many other verses. And I'd like for us to just consider that we have the opportunity today to examine our lives by our words and really know whether or not we're walking in spirit. We have a window. God has given us a window into our hearts that we would do well to take to make use of. Okay, and I'd like to move on to, does God rule my tongue? The bridle, James talks about having our tongue bridled. The bridle was not just to stop a horse. The bridle was to steer it. Is my tongue, can God use my tongue? Is it steerable? Having our tongue bridled doesn't just mean to be quiet. God has a plan and a purpose for us. And I believe that our tongue is one of the primary vessels that God wants to use in our lives. And if we could turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said in verse 22, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And saying evil things, evil speaking, and those other things that we're reading, grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, but not speaking quenches the Spirit also. Am I willing to confess Christ? And I think of my family and my children and teaching them of Christ. Am I willing to allow my tongue to be used, or am I too busy? Do I have bigger things to do? to confess Christ to my neighbor. God's main tool for saving the souls of men is the tongue of his people. And secondly, am I willing to reprove sin? Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Can God depend on me to speak against the sin and rebellion of our day, or do I fear the opinions of men? And I would add, speaking the truth in love, there's a wrong way to say things, but am I willing to reprove even my friends, even those who are close to me? Does God rule my tongue? Thirdly, goes along with that, can God depend on me, as it says in 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine? Or does it have to be convenient? We're also instructed in 2 Timothy to not strive, but be gentle. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Am I faithful in exhortation? The scripture says in Hebrews to exhort one another daily. Fourthly, is my tongue faithful in praising God? Can I be depended on to walk in the Spirit and show forth his praises from day to day? It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thought of David as an example. David said, I will praise the Lord. He was committed in spite of his circumstances at times to praise, to praising the Lord. Sometimes I hear the song leaders up here encouraging everyone to sing, and I appreciate that. And I would just add my voice to that. Are we committed to showing forth the praises of the Lord? Fifthly, giving thanks. There's many instructions in the scripture that we ought to be thankful, and then we have much to be thankful for. And is there a pattern of thanksgiving in our lives? I'd like for us to turn to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, and the burden that I have today is, I believe that by our words we can tell, am I walking in the flesh or in the spirit? And in Galatians 5, we have these words, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. But is my speech loving? Is it joyful? Is it peaceful? Is it following after peace? Is my speech seeking peace? Is it long-suffering, or is it harsh and critical? Is there gentleness in my speech? You know, we live in a day when gentleness is scoffed at. And I believe that if we walk after the Spirit, we will be a gentle people. Goodness. Is my speech full of goodness and faith? Or is it negative and unbelieving? Is there meekness? Or is my speech proud? Is it temperate? And we could turn to Matthew 5. And here in what we call the Beatitudes, I believe that these very much show up in our speech. And these are clear evidence of the Spirit of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Is our speech, is there a humility, true humility in our speech? Blessed are they that mourn. Is there a clear remorse for wrongdoing? And thirdly, blessed are the meek. Is there meekness in my speech? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is there a hunger and thirst? Is there a pattern of hungering and thirsting after righteousness in the way I talk? And same with the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Is my speech mercy? Is there mercy in my speech? Blessed are the pure in heart. Is there purity in my speech, or is it coarse and unwholesome? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I missed verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Is my speech following after peace? And then he goes on to say that what our speech should be when we're being persecuted. There ought to be a rejoicing and being exceeding glad. And be exceeding glad, or is there complaining and self-pity because I really ought not be treated this way? I brought with me a while back, some time ago, we were memorizing some verses on our speech. And my wife made this a motto that we had on the wall. It was just some verses on the use of our tongues. And I'll read these. You probably can't read the small print here, but let your words be pleasant. It says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are life-giving. And we've all experienced that. When someone gives you a word of encouragement, a word of affirmation, that it's sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Let your words be gracious. Let your speech, from Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your words be appropriate. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, from Proverbs 25:11. The picture there is apples of gold. In another translation says settings of silver on plates of silver. In other words, very valuable. Let your words be truthful. From Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And also from Ephesians, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And also there's an encouragement in the scriptures to let your words be few. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, Therefore, let thy words be few, from Ecclesiastes. I think of that in Peter. It says that to be of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Other scriptures that lift up the virtue of quietness. Let your words be sober, and we already quoted this one, but neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient or proper, but rather giving of thanks. Let your words be pure. For he that will, from Peter, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let your words be gentle. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. Let your words be wise. From Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. May the Lord help us to use the knowledge that we have, to use it wisely. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then the last one here is, let your words be holy. And it's the scripture in Matthew that we just read about the generation of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What difference, what change would be in our community if the children of God, if the children of God would be committed to taking their thoughts captive first, and judging the words that come from their mouth, and really seeking the Lord, that He would change, that He would lay an axe to the root of, to the source, to the fountain that's bringing forth the bitter things, the fountain that's the root of the unwholesome things that come from our lips. I think the Lord is willing to lay an axe to the root of those things, and I think I'll close with that. May the Lord add His blessing.